Many of us city dwellers dream, I think, about our very own tree change or sea change. A couple of texters have said that. But not all of us, though increasing numbers of us, do take the plunge. But many of us probably would not entertain swapping a good life in the city to share one with a flock of sheep. Or perhaps you would if you knew that these woolly creatures could actually teach you quite a lot about life and yourself. Though that wasn't immediately apparent to my last guest today, Axel Linden. Axel was a literary academic working in Stockholm, a long way from sheep, when he took the step and moved his wife and children to the countryside, to Östergötland County in southwest Sweden. And he's written an account of this in a new book on sheep, published now by Hachette. And I spoke to him earlier.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good. Now, you describe living in Stockholm as living like an indoor cat, that you were domesticated and made passive, with no need to care about the weather, for instance. So what was it, when you consider it, was there a tipping point moment that made you decide to leave all of that passivity?
Well, I mean, when I look back at it, for me, it was like a slow process. But when I compare to other people, you know, thinking the same things, I realized that I and me and my family and a few of my friends, we did it rather quickly. So it was sort of a tipping point, even though it wasn't like 1 second. Maybe it was a few months where we went from just talking about it and then quite suddenly just did it and just
but
moved
why?
Away.
But why?
Why? Well, I think all of the, what can I say, conventional reasons conventional in the group of people where I spent my time, that we talked about, we live unsustainably. We just go around in the city talking about making a difference, but not actually doing anything. And it was a quite obvious conclusion to, you have to move to the countryside and grow your own food and have some animals and, you know, do it for real. That was quite an obvious conclusion, but to actually do it, that was, as you put it, a plunge, and it was quite swiftly done when it all happened.
Well, it is interesting, because you're right, of course, a lot of us carry on about how we'd like a slower life, we'd like a whole range of things. Another trigger from what you tell me in your book is that your parents decided to give up their family farm. And this was a real prompt for you. And there's an interesting piece of history to your family farm. At the turn of the century, it was a type of mini feudal society. Could you describe it for us, please?
Well, I don't have every detail about this. I just realized when I moved here and I saw how the houses were put, and, you know, I saw it on the site here, how it worked. My grandmother's father was the feudal lord, as I call him now. He died in the 1950s. And when he created this farm around 1900, he had like maybe 20 people working for him. Now it's a small farm, but by then it was a very, very big farm. And he had those workers in small houses around his big house. And during the 1900s, all that changed. So my father was alone on the farm. All those workers had disappeared to the city. And he just had, instead of 20 workers, he had 2 tractors.
So we've got to get to the sheep. When you again reflect, what's got you in about the sheep?
I like to compare to cows because my neighbor has cows, so I can compare with them. And I think sheep, they are a kind of animal that they don't produce that much. If you have cows, you have to sort of maximize the production. Mm. But that's nothing you can do with sheep. They just keep their pace in growing. And it's sort of not as industrial and not as it's not too smart to have sheep, and I like that. You struggle with them, you don't get that much back. You cannot make money. You have to shear them, but you can't sell the wool.
You can certainly sell the wool here. I mean, most Australians think of sheep, I've got to tell you, as really quite dumb animals. And, I mean, we've got our Merino sheep, you know, we think are the best in the world and their fleece makes a lot of money. You're different in your attitudes, yeah. though.
And I think to have sheep in this area, in Sweden and in this area particularly, is not that smart because the land here is not made for having sheep. And in that way, the shepherd, the sheep farmer, is a little bit dumb as well as the sheep. The sheep look dumb and the shepherd looks dumb, I think. And I like that role, really, because all the, you know, big-time industrial farmers around me here, they just put their money, their effort, their work days in, you know, like smart things that they can make money from and then where they have to work little for much money. And I just do the opposite. And I really like that.
At the start, Axel, you spent most of your time trying to keep the sheep inside the yard and they kept escaping because your fences kept falling down. Now, how's that going now?
Well, a little bit better. We're a little bit more serious nowadays. And I have another companion now, another partner that I work with. He's not as philosophically
inclined,
but still comparing with the cows. As much as you try to keep them inside the fence, they still manage to get out. Yes, still.
In fact, you say that you think cows are hectic, whereas you describe being with your sheep as an oasis of stillness, contemplation, and dignity, as opposed to your time with people. That's a big observation of self.
Yeah, well, big. Is it a big observation? It's quite easy to do when you're there. I mean, when you're out in the field with the sheep, it's quite obvious. It's not really, you know, the reflection comes automatically when you're there.
Were you seeking to sort of separate yourself out from people? Like you say that in your book, since becoming a farmer, you've become a grump who keeps to himself. So you think you have changed since moving to the farm, have you?
Yeah, very much so. I've been here 8 years now. And in one way, it's like two different, you know, lines of development. In one way, me and my family, we get more and more normal because when we started off here, we were, you know, very ideological and everything should be very much self-sustainability and growing everything. But now, you know, we go to the store and buy cereals for the children. But there's another line of development where I myself become more and more in contact with nature and the elements and the animals. And that's something that develops over a long time. And now in here 8 years, and I really feel that's not just something I say, or it's not a cliche. It's true that when you're out there in the field with the sheep, I developed a very special connection to the elements and the nature. I mean, it sounds silly and a bit romantic, but I mean, if you give it time, it becomes true, really.
So would it be fair to say that in a sense, you're living in the present, you know, which is the great call of mindfulness, and the great challenge to 21st century people to live in the present. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, it is right. And there was another journalist that called this the holy grail of our time, to find this stillness and living in, what do you say, in the now?
In the present, yeah.
I mean, that has happened, and I wouldn't, when I started this project, I wasn't sure that this was going to happen, but if you give it time, it happens.
Do you eat your own sheep?
Yes, I do.
Do you slaughter them?
Yes, I do. I will do it today, actually. We planned on slaughtering 10 sheep today.
Was that something to come to terms with?
Yeah, it was a big thing, maybe the biggest thing, and because I was a vegetarian living in the city, and when we got the sheep at first, I didn't really think of it as meat. I just thought they were nice to have around and, you know, keeping down the grass in the fields. But I realized, or we were a little group by then, we realized that you cannot keep sheep if you don't slaughter them because they, you know, become more and more. And it was a big step. The first maybe four times we had slaughter, I couldn't be a part of it. It was disgusting. And I really had this vegetarian feeling about it, that it was a living creature, another individual that I killed and, you know, put in my mouth, which was just crazy. But now I think I connect this the meat eating with this being present and being a part of nature, being in contact with elements, and
the cycle of life.
And then it becomes natural. And I mean, we always talk about when we do the slaughter, we really careful not to make it just an ordinary thing, you know.
And I just wonder, I noticed that your children are now teenagers, and do they partake of your attitudes?
Well, they are very normal, I would say. I think they, when they grow up, the more they understand about life and the world, the more they look at me as a strange person. I mean, they still like me as their father, I guess, but I think they become like my friends in Stockholm more and more. They like me and they sort of understand what I do and how I think, but they
think you're eccentric.
Yeah, they do.
Well, actually, there's a lovely quote that I think you gave to one of the reviewers. They basically, the children become like everyone else. You can't be disappointed. It's a good example of how strong society's norms are and how much pressure is exerted to make us all the same. I thought that was quite a wise remark.
Yeah, and I mean, that's another big, big thing about this project, being here with the natural elements and see your children grow up, because you're so close to your children, you would think that they will become exactly like you because you're so close to them. So their development from, you know, being just being a little toddler in your arms to take the bus to the city here on their own and starting to thinking on their own. I mean, I still love them, and they are very, very, very sensitive and wise people, but still they think my life choices is very eccentric, and I cannot really be sad about that. That's the way it goes, sort of.
Whereas you think having a relationship with sheep can be as complex as reading Proust. Axel, yeah. It's been lovely, really lovely to talk to you, and good luck. I hope you continue to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling me. It was nice to talk to you.
And Axel Lindstrom's book on sheep is published now by Hachette.